What a great video. In case you missed it, that lesson on Joshua is, that's just 5 minutes of a full 30-minute kids video that our children's ministry team put together, and they posted that on our YouTube channel at 9 o'clock this morning. I realize some of you, you know, probably missed that, but it'll be on there all week, so the kids can go and they can enjoy that. Their own little junior church there at your house, and they can enjoy some great teaching from our some leaders that they're used to seeing week in and week out, interacting on the video with them, and they can rewatch it during the week as many times as they want to. And so we'll be posting those for our kids every Sunday until all this is over. And so to find the video, just click the link in the description, and that'll take you right to it. And so for us adults, we have been talking about Luke chapter 12, if you want to be turning in your Bible there to Luke chapter number 12, and we're examining what did Jesus teach about the subject of worry. And so we were looking at this text where Jesus just kind of deals very straightforwardly with the subject of worry and anxiety. In fact, he uses the word anxiety or worry three times in five verses. In fact, let's look at it. Look at verse number 22. So if you've got your Bible, go to Luke chapter 12 and look at verse number 22. Then said he to his disciples. So he's talking to the 12 disciples. Remember, they'd left their jobs, they'd left their hometowns, they'd left, you know, any sense of normalcy, they had left that behind. Their lives were in danger. And you know, it's very similar to kind of what we're going through. Right now, we don't have any normalcy in our lives, you know. And so they were going through that, and they were obviously full of anxiety and stress and worry. And so Jesus deals with that issue here with them. And look at it. He said to his disciples, therefore, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, what you'll eat, nor for your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens. He said, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor barns. He said, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds? And then he says, who of you by worrying can add one cubit to his height? If you then cannot do what is least, why are you anxious about the other things? And so three times there, he mentions worrying or anxiety. And so he's dealing with this subject with the 12 disciples. And we began to look at this last week. And basically, Jesus is telling the disciples five things about worry. We covered two of those last week. The first one was Jesus taught them that worry is unreasonable. That was the first thing, and we looked at that last week. Then the second thing is he said worry is unnatural for children of God who have God as their Father. Worry is a very unnatural thing. And so then as we move forward, the third thing that Jesus teaches them is that worry is useless. Worry is useless. And we just read that in verse 25. If you look at it again, he says, who of you by worrying can add one cubit to his height? And he basically here, he's saying, how many of you can grow taller by worrying? And I think that Jesus probably had a grin on his face. The disciples probably chuckled as he said that. It's kind of a humorous illustration where he's trying to make a point. And what is the point? The point is that worry is useless. You know, he's like, if you think you're too tall or you think you're too short, you know, going into a room and just sitting there worrying about it, that's not going to make you taller, and that's not going to make you any shorter. Worrying isn't going to make you smarter. Worrying isn't going to make you live longer. In fact, studies show that it does just the opposite. Worry shortens your life because anxiety causes all kinds of health issues with us. And so Jesus here is teaching the disciples that worry accomplishes nothing good. It's useless. So why worry? Worry never solved one problem in our lives. I heard this said one time. It said, worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrows, but it does sap today of its strength. And that is so true. Worry is useless. If you want to test your memory, try to remember what you were worrying about 1 year ago. Yeah, I did this with my family. You know, what were you worrying about 1 year ago today? You probably can't remember. Now, you might have journaled, and that's not fair. That's cheating. You can't go back and look. But what were you worrying about 1 year ago today? You know, I posed that to Denise and Clayton, and Clayton's, you know, he starts thinking, and he's like, well, let's see, I wasn't in college this time last year, so it couldn't have been that. You know, and that's what I'm trying to say to you this morning is that worry is useless. One person said it this way. He said, some people ought to be so lucky that they're too busy all day working to worry. And when they get home, they're too tired to worry, so they go to sleep. And it kind of reminds me of that psalm where it talks about that God gives his beloved sleep. He gives them rest. He gives them that peace. And I, you know, the thing is, I think that some people like to worry. I think some people live to worry. But Jesus says worry is useless. You've heard me say that worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but it gets you nowhere. Now, I love a rocking chair. I prefer a rocking chair. You know, I'm hyper, so I'm always moving. And I always, you know, so I love a rocking chair because I can, you know, relax but be moving at the same time. And I love a rocking chair, but rocking chair isn't going to get you from room to room at your house. Keeps you busy, but gets you nowhere. And that's how worry is. It's like a rocking chair. You know, back at Thanksgiving time last year, I gave a message from 1 Thessalonians 5 about Thanksgiving. And we said that one of the keys to being a thankful person is that we earnestly pray. In that context of 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. But then he also says, pray without ceasing. In other words, in everything, pray. And we talked about the peace that brings to our heart when we pray, you know, when we seek God. And I made a statement, and I think that statement that I made at Thanksgiving time is very applicable to today and what's going on, what we're all going through right now with the coronavirus. And I made this statement. I said, the peace of God in our hearts, the peace of God in our hearts does not mean the absence of problems, but it does mean a quiet confidence within, regardless of the circumstances. And you know, that is just so true. The peace of God in our heart doesn't mean the absence of problems. Listen, I will guarantee you that you know, every one of us pretty much are encountering problems, trials, difficulties, challenges because of the coronavirus right now. The church is no different. I mean, as a pastor, you know, I could say, oh, we don't have any worries, no problems. And the truth is that it's affected us. I mean, we're not even able to meet corporately. And of course, that affects other things too. And so, you know, yeah, the church is going to face some challenges and we're going to face some problems, but there's a quiet confidence within. I'm not worried about it. I really feel like that this entire set of events is going to open up doors of opportunity for us as believers, for us as a church. When this is over, we're going to have to speak into this in our culture, in the lives of people and what they've been through and the problems that they're facing because of what we've been through. And so we're going to have to be prepared. We're going to have to be strong. We're going to have to be ready to speak into that. And I think that this is going to give the church opportunity. Now, again, you know, are there things I could be worrying about? Absolutely, but I truly have that quiet confidence. Worry is not going to bring the peace of God. Worry is not going to bring that quiet confidence within, but prayer will. And that's why Jesus tells them, don't worry. He says, worry is useless. You know, worry doesn't accomplish anything. It's not going to solve anything. But we know that Jesus taught that prayer will, in fact, solve a lot. Prayer is what's going to bring us peace. Prayer is what's going to change things. And so that's why Jesus constantly encouraged them to pray. But here he says, don't worry, because worry is useless. But then there's a fourth thing that Jesus taught, and that is number four, Jesus taught that worry is unnecessary. Worry is unnecessary. You remember last week we looked at the two illustrations that Jesus gave from nature. He talked about birds, and then he talked about flowers. And he talked about the lilies of the field. And Jesus said that, look, God takes care of the ravens. He said, how much more valuable are you than birds? And then after talking about how God cares for and how God clothes the lilies of the field, Jesus said, "How much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith?" Let's look at verse number 27. He said there, "Consider how the lilies grow. They neither spin nor weave. Yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith?" He's saying to the 12 here, guys, worry is unnecessary. He's saying, look, if God's going to take care of the lilies and the birds, he's going to take care of you. It's Jesus that loves us. It's Jesus that saves us. It's Jesus that keeps us. And one of my all-time favorite verses is 1 Peter 5:7. I'm not kidding you, man. This is one of my favorite verses and has been since I was a teenager when I got saved. And when I discovered this verse, it revolutionized my life, my thinking. It brought such calm to me during times of storm. And I've claimed this verse. I've stood on this verse. I love this verse. It's 1 Peter 5:7. And here's what it says. It says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That is a promise from God. That is a twofold promise from God, as a matter of fact. First of all, it's a promise that we can cast all of our burdens upon God. I mean, we can take them all. He's got big shoulders. God's got a good back. And he says, you can take all of your cares, all your worries, all your concerns. He said, you can cast them on me. And then the second part of that promise is that he will always care for us. So that means that I can either have my cares, all my worries, I can carry them, I can shoulder them all myself, or I can experience his caring. I can either worry, or I can cast my cares upon him and I can rest in him. You know, the Bible's full of great promises like that. We can stand upon and we can rest in the promises of God. Another one of my all-time favorites is this one, and I'm going to bring it up there on your screen. It's Romans 8, 31 and 32. Look at this one. It says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" It says, "If he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Man, that's an awesome promise, isn't it? God is for us. You can take that to the bank, man. God is for you. He is not working against you. If you are his child, God is for you. He is not against you. God is on our side. We quoted that verse a few weeks ago, that the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? And you know, later on in Romans 8, he says that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says that we are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. When we study the Bible and when we learn the Bible, you know, our motto at Crossroads is learning the Bible, living the Bible. And when we learn the Bible, when you read the Bible, you're going to come across nuggets like what I just shared, 1 Peter 5, 7, Romans 8, 31 and 32. And you're going to come across nuggets like that. You're not going to understand everything you read in the Bible, but you're going to come across faith-building promises like that. And, you know, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want to build up your faith, man, you got to get your nose in this book. And you have to read it and study it and learn it. Sometimes we got to turn the news off, right? We can only take so much of that. And they repeat the same things over and over all day long, you know, and check it once a day. But you know, you got to turn that off. You got to turn off, as I've been sharing in my devotions. I've been doing a devotion for you. To also enjoy during the week, in case you did not know that. It's on the YouTube channel, the Crossroads Daytona channel, and you can go there. And we posted a devotion on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And man, I tell you, you ought to go back and watch those. They're, you know, about 12 to 15 minutes long, each one of them. And they will help build your faith. Because, you know, if we're going to live victoriously, if we're going to make it through trials, if we're going to make it through problems, like I said, we got to get our nose in the book. We got to learn the Bible and then endeavor to live it, because that's what's going to grow our faith. That's what you're going to need. You know, it's when we neglect the Word of God. It's when we neglect the promises of God. When we forget those promises, that's when we get into trouble. You know, you think about Abraham. Abraham was a great man of faith. Abraham is listed in the Hall of Faith. He's one of the greatest men of God in the Bible. But Abraham was a human being. He wasn't perfect. And Abraham had received great promises from God, but sometimes his faith lapsed a little bit, you know, and he had to get back to the promises of God. For example, Abraham was promised that he would have a son. He was promised that from this son would be a great nation. And God was going to bless all nations through that nation. He was given the promise of a land area. In that land area, there would be a nation that would be a blessing to all other nations and a glorious kingdom. Well, God led him to that land area. He led him to Canaan land. And so Abraham's there, but then a famine came in the land. And so Abraham got worried. And his worry led him to flee down to Egypt, where he should not have been, and it led him into all kinds of troubles. So why did Abraham respond so wrong? It's because he forgot the promises of God, and he allowed worry to control him. Will we rest in God's promises, or will we fret, and will we worry? Jesus said that worry is unnecessary. In other words, Jesus is teaching here that we don't have to worry. Now, we may choose to worry, but if we're worrying, it's because we've chosen. It's like I said in the devotions this week, we were talking about Mary and Martha, and the Bible says that Mary chose that good part. And it is a choice that we make. Life is all about our choices. And we do not have to worry. We may choose to worry, but Jesus said it's unnecessary. We can rest in God's promises. Jesus said, look, if I take care of the birds and if I take care of the flowers, I'm going to take care of you. And so worry is unnecessary. But then there's a fifth thing, and that is number five, worry is unspiritual. Now, we said last week that a believer in Christ is very unique in that we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. If you know the Lord, you have God's Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8 says, living inside of you. So what does it mean to be spiritual? We hear that expression, boy, he's a spiritual young man, or boy, she is a spiritual lady. And what does that mean to be spiritual? Well, you take the root of that word, spirit, and you get a clue right there. Spiritual means that you're walking in the Spirit. You're filled with the Holy Spirit, and that means that you're bearing the fruit of the Spirit in your life. When I am walking in the Spirit, what fruit does that bring in my life? What fruit do I bear? Well, Galatians 5 and verse number 22 is going to tell us. And so I want you to notice this verse, Galatians 5, 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit. So if I'm spiritual, the fruit that comes from being spiritual is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And he goes on to talk about meekness and temperance. And so he lists the fruit. And notice he says that the top three there is love. I love God. I love people if I'm spiritual. And then I've got an inner joy. And then I also have a peace. I have a heart that is at peace. Notice how that Jesus here in our text, he's going to draw out here a difference between lost people who don't know God and the children of God. Let's look at verse number 29. Go there with me. Verse number 29. Jesus said, and do not seek what you will eat or what you will drink, nor be of an anxious mind. For the nations of the world, and what that means, when he talks about the nations, he's talking about the heathen, the pagan, people who don't know God. He says, the nations of the world seek all these things, and your father knows that you need them. Notice how he draws a distinction between the disciples who knew God as their father and the nations of the world that don't know God. And then verse 31, he says, but seek the kingdom of God and all these things shall be given to you. And so he draws a distinction here between people who know God, who know God as their father, and then lost people who do not know God. And here's the thing, lost people should worry. I mean, really, lost people should worry. Lost people should be very concerned. They should be very concerned every day of their life. Why? Well, I mean, if you don't know the Lord, and you don't, of course, we don't know when we're going to die, it's kind of like you're walking a tightrope over the Grand Canyon, you know? And I mean, I've been to the Grand Canyon. Like one fella said, that's a mighty big ditch. And it is, man. It's a mighty big ditch. And I would not be one bit interested in walking a tightrope over the Grand Canyon. Let me tell you, I don't want any part of that. I'm afraid of heights. I don't want any part of that. All right. But yeah, I mean, you know, think about that. A lost person, they don't have divine forgiveness. They don't know God as their father. They don't have eternal life. They don't have that relationship. They should worry. But as believers, we're at peace with God. We're one with Jesus Christ. We are the children of God eternally. God is our Father. He says, therefore, he's teaching them, worry is unspiritual. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit is not worry, right? He didn't say the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, worry. He said, no, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, which is the opposite of worry. The Holy Spirit is not going to lead you to worry. So that's why we say it's unspiritual. It's not of the Spirit. So we have to come to grips, church, with the truth that worry's not a feeling. Worry's not an attitude. Worry's not just a bad habit. Worry is a sin because worry is a form of unbelief. It's a lack of faith. And here's what the Bible says about that. Notice on your screen, Romans 14:23. It says, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats. And the context here is about doing things that violate your conscience. And he says, he who doubts is condemned if he eats because it's not from faith. And then he says, for whatsoever is not from faith is sin. God says, I'm your father. I will take care of you. Worry says, I don't trust you. But faith says, yeah, God, I do trust you. And I know you live within me. I know you're my father. And I know that nothing can separate me from your love. And I trust you. Jesus said to his disciples, we read it in verse 28, he said there at the end of that verse, oh, you of little faith. The problem wasn't that the disciples had no faith. The problem was they had little faith. So it wasn't the absence of faith, but it was the inadequacy of their faith. That was the issue. And you know, there are many ways that we can please God. There's a lot of things that we can do that will please God, but not one of them is without faith. If it's going to please God, it's got to be of faith. In fact, Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it doesn't matter what we do. If it's not of faith, it won't please God. Every hero of the Bible was a man or woman of faith. Maybe they didn't have a great faith immediately, and maybe they had lapses in their faith, like Abraham, but their faith grew. And that's what God's trying to do in our lives, is that he wants our faith to grow. That seed of faith is planted in us when we trust Christ. And now that seed of faith has to be cultivated and it has to grow. No matter how long you've been saved, there's room for that seed of faith to continue to grow. It isn't that we need more faith. It's that we need to grow the faith that we already have. In fact, if you look at this verse, 2 Thessalonians 1:3, Paul is writing to these believers who he had led to Christ. And he says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brothers, as it's fitting. Notice this. Why was he so thankful? Because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you abounds towards each other. He said, you know, we are thankful for you guys. Why? Because we can see your faith is growing abundantly and your love is growing. Wow. That's what it's all about, you know? And when Jesus said they had little faith, that's what he's talking about. It's kind of like a plant. You know, you get a plant and it's little, and then you water it, right? And you get it some sunshine, and the hopes is that it's going to grow. And so you got this little plant, and maybe it's a little too small when you first buy it for wherever you're going to put it, on your porch or your patio or in the house somewhere. And then, of course, you know, we if we have a little plant, we don't say, well, boy, I need more plant. No, our attitude is, no, it needs to grow. It just needs to grow. And so we got to get it some water, got to get some sunshine. And by the way, this is our water and our sunshine, the Bible. You know, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And so if we want to grow our faith, if we want our faith to grow abundantly like the Thessalonians, then we got to get our faith some sunshine, some water. And that's right here. That's the word of God. And little faith, when he said, oh, you have little faith means that we have a saving faith, right? We've trusted God for our salvation, but we're struggling with God to allow him to have full control over our daily lives, our daily thoughts. Little faith says, I know I'm going to heaven, but I'm worried about what's going to happen between then and now. Picture it this way. All right, picture it this way. Many people are saved, and they have invited Christ into their heart, into their life. You know, if you've never done that and you're watching this video, I want you to know that God wants a relationship with you. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ is standing at your heart's door, and he's knocking, and he wants you to open up the door of your heart and invite him in. Jesus Christ wants to have a personal relationship with you. And picture it this way. You open up the door of your heart. You know, remember, we're the house of God today. And so you invite him into your house, your heart, so to speak. And it's as if some people invite him in, and he comes into the front room of your house, like, say, your living room. But then we struggle with giving him control of the whole house, our whole heart. We don't want to give him control of every room. And that's little faith. See, when we have little faith, we're struggling with the issue of, who's going to run my daily life? But a great faith is always centered on a person, Jesus Christ. You know, right now we can't meet as a church corporately, and that's just a reminder that your faith should not be focused upon me. It should not be focused upon any of our pastors, our leaders. Your faith should not be in your church. Your faith needs to be focused on a person. It needs to be focused on Jesus Christ. In fact, there's a verse here in Hebrews 12 and verse number 2, and it says, let us look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The best advice I could ever give you right now, I mean, this is the best advice I could ever give you during this time, is to keep your eyes on Jesus, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Because he is the author. He started it. He came to live within you. The way this whole thing got started in your Christian life is you just rested in Christ and he came to live within you. He's the author. But then the Bible says he's the finisher of our faith. He started it when you got saved. He's going to finish it when he returns for us one day. So in between those two times, we need to look to him constantly and trust him and allow him to grow our faith daily. Listen, I know these are difficult times, and I know that, you know, there's a lot of things that we could all be worried about right now. But Jesus here in this text, this is a beautiful text, isn't it? On five reasons that Jesus said, hey, listen, don't worry, guys. And he's talking to these guys that he loves a lot. And he knows they're worried. He knows they're concerned. He knows they're full of anxiety. And he says, no, don't be of an anxious mind. He said, and here's why. And he lists these great reasons why. And he just kind of lays it out there for them. And so I would encourage you, church, during this time, you know, really pray. Pray for our church. Pray for our leadership to be filled with wisdom. Pray that the church can remain strong. And I just want to say this, that our band is going to be coming. They're going to be doing a few more songs for us when I'm done. So we hope you'll sing along with them or listen and enjoy them singing. And again, let it grow your faith as you listen to great godly music. And so our band's going to come and do that here in a moment. And you know, this is normally the time when we do our offering. And so we're just going to take a minute or two, and we're just going to allow you, before the band does a couple more songs, we're going to allow you just a minute or two to pray. Maybe pray together, pray silently, meditate upon God, meditate upon the good things, meditate upon the great things that he's given you in Christ, and meditate upon that eternal life we know we have. And just pray and meditate upon him. If you want to give, that, you know, kind of, you know, do what you normally do during this time, and that is you give. That's fine too. You know, you can do that. Whether it's you preparing your envelope, that's fine. Or if you want to give online, you can do it that way. And I just want to say how much I do thank you guys so much for those of you who have been so faithful in remembering the church during this time. Even though we're not meeting, you're still being fed from the church, and you're still exercising generosity, and that means so very much. As our heart's desire really is, we want fruit that abounds to our account in heaven, you know, and that's our desire, is that we want to keep the church strong, and we want to make sure that when this is over, the church is ready to minister and to speak into the hurt and into the needs of people. And many of you are giving online. We really appreciate that. Some of you had already... You were already doing that, and so that's awesome. You're just, it's kind of situation normal for you when it comes to that. Some of you are mailing it in. Some of you are dropping it by our church offices, which are still open Monday through Friday, and we thank you for that. So many of you dropped by your offering this past week, and I know my wife talked to many of you personally, and we just appreciate that very, very much. And let me say this, I know many of you are struggling right now. You've lost your job, or you're temporarily laid off. And hey, listen, we get that. We understand that completely. And if we all do what we're able to do, if we all just kind of do what God has blessed us and allowed us to do, then I believe that we will keep the church strong during this time. I will say this also before I pray, that Pastor Rob... He sent out an email. If you're not getting emails regularly from us, we've been communicating with videos and with emails. And so if you're not getting the emails, you need to call the church office on Monday, anytime after like 8:30, because you should be getting emails if you're a member of our church. And so if you're not getting those, contact the office. We probably have a wrong or an old email for you. So, you know, we've been trying to communicate. Pastor Robson out an email this past week about the different ways that we can give during this time and still be generous. And he even has a video that's a tutorial on how you can set up an account or give one time by doing that digitally online through our website. And so you can watch that video also if you need some help with that. But God bless you all. I love you and I miss you. And I can't wait until this auditorium is full of people again and just teeming with life and vitality and hearing those praises to God. I can't wait for that. And I know it's going to come soon, but we're just going to have to be patient and, again, allow God to grow our faith during this time. So let's have a word of prayer right now. When I'm done praying, then the band's got a few more songs that they're going to do for us. Lord, we love you, God, so much, and we thank you, Lord, for your grace and goodness to us. And God, thank you so much for, Lord, all that you have done in our lives. Thank you, God, for how you do meet our needs. You do provide for us. And Lord, we thank you for that. We pray that you will bless the offering as we give. We pray, Father, that we can give with willing, cheerful hearts for those, Lord God, that have been so faithful. We thank you and praise you for that. And God, we pray that you will just continue to keep Crossroads strong, Lord, during this time so that we can minister in this time of need, but then also be prepared to minister when this time is over. And Lord, just helping people kind of put pieces back together. Lord, we want to be there to help people. So God, we love you, God, and thank you. Lord, help us to learn the Bible, live the Bible, so that we can love you and love people more. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.